Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Author's Corner. I'm Valerie, and joining me today is James Arthur Becker, otherwise known as Jim Becker, who wrote Secrets of the American Revolution that have not been made public. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon.
Okay, well, first off, tell us a little bit about the book that we're going to be interviewing you about today.
It can be bought at the Amazon, and you can bring it up by just using part of the title, Secrets of the American Revolution. Of course, it's a little bit longer than that, Secrets of the American Revolution that have not been made public. And it's a nice, big, thick book, paperback, for $20.
All right. Well, tell our listeners what the book is about, and then we're going to talk about you and your personal background that gives you how you know all the secrets.
All right. Well, I'm going to try and respond to you were talking about how the American Revolution was funded and received ammunition and munition that were not made in America. An agent for foreign powers was sent to the Continental Congress by the Sons of Liberty to introduce the Continental Dollar and then backed it up with 10 shiploads of King Solomon's treasure that was stored by the Knights Templar for the Promised Land.
Now, people who aren't familiar with the Knights Templar, what exactly is that organization?
Well, it's evolved. It was what it is today and what it was once upon a time. It was formed in 1131. And they went to Jerusalem and formed it in the First Crusade, right after the First Crusade. And they essentially brought back the treasure that King Solomon had placed under the Temple Mount. They knew it was there. It had been there all that time, since 70 A.D., and they were safely moving it, carefully moving it to France, and then with a mission of moving it to the Promised Land, which was could only be found by following the star in the west called America. So a lot of this is very hidden from most people. One of the places you can find more references to it is in the book that was written in the first century by Josephus. He was a captured general of Israel, and he was brought to Rome, Italy, and there he writes about the battles that he had. And in that process, he introduces you to three sects of the Jewish religion. And this is the first time you see anything about the Essene. The next time you see anything about the Essene is when they discover more of about them. And it's when they found the caves in Israel and Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
And so the Dead Sea Scrolls, those are big time jumps in the history. And the organization of the Templars that was founded was to bring back all of this gold and treasure for the pursuit of the land of promise. And they successfully brought it back to Europe and then began to talk about what they wanted to do was take it to America. But this doesn't really get pushed hard until they are forced to move out of Paris, France. And when they're forced to move out of Paris, France, they move to up through Israel, I'm sorry, up through Switzerland to Scotland. And this is when you find them becoming involved with the Scottish, and especially with the Scottish king, who were Stuarts. And, of course, the Stuarts become head of England there for a while. And James I, of course, is quite obviously important. And the British take a good, healthy look at the and increase the Masonic order by developing the Masonic order as we know it today a little bit in 1599. And so you have this rolling along and all being kept very secret. And of course, this is involved with the original move of Mary Magdalene out of Israel. She was quite hunted. She was number one on the list. And so when you see people talking about her out of the Catholic Church, they're really trying to protect the lineage that the family left. So there was lineage from her family. They estimate that there's 2.7 million people in the world who are part of that lineage. And we only know so much and maintain so much information about who we really are. And so you have an idea of how large that group is today, but the knowledge of where the gold was only a small group and a small portion who worked on those problems and brought it. And they recruited people as they needed them and kept everything very secret.
So basically, all this money and gold and coins that was from way back in the biblical times was used to fund the United States.
Yes, it was.
Okay, and how
the
do you...
The idea, by that time, the concept of paper money had gotten well looked after, and the paper money concept came over here first. Then they went back and got the 10 shiploads of gold to fund it.
Now, how do you know all this? Like, what is your background? How did you find out about all this? Or is it just you put the dots together?
Well, the dots started when my brother was involved in the business of this. He came back from Vietnam, and he had been involved with Army intelligence. And as part of Army intelligence, he'd gotten involved in quite a few very special operations. And they had asked him to head the investigation that was going on for the Senate Assassinations Committee, the Army intelligence portion of that research. And he agreed to that, but he did it as a volunteer, not took separation from the Army. There was an awful lot of people who had been investigators for Army intelligence who turned up in trunks of cars during that period.
And what is your background, or is it just stuff you learned from your brother who knew about this?
Well, my background was military also, but I was involved in the Vietnam before he was, and he's the one that got called in by President Nixon, and he was called in because our ancestor had signed Secret Treaty Number 1. Now you have a treaty talked about in our history. We refer to it as the Halifax Resolves. The Resolves of North Carolina provide permission for our delegates to sign a treaty. And you also have a treaty as one of the three items that is put together for the 11th of June, when three items are selected for the special session they're going to have. And they are, of course, a declaration of independence, a formation of a confederation for the country, and thirdly, a treaty. Now, you don't see any notice after that of them signing a treaty, but the treaty was a secret treaty, and it was signed by basically the Merovingian members of the that were extending this opportunity of joining the Promised Land and America as one project. And this is when this all got put together. And of course, it's been kept very, very secret. and they brought so much money over that they couldn't really attack the problem of the counterfeiting that the British brought and were effective in the spring of 1780 of reducing the value of the dollar to close to zero. And this is why we didn't attempt to try and back it. We didn't have any banks to try and show how valuable it was, and we didn't want them to steal it. We were at war. It was not a good way to... So we managed to come up with registered IOUs. Those registered IOUs were done by each colony, and they were done in British denominations, which stopped all of the British counterfeiting. Mm-hmm. And we mostly bought all of this material for to supply the war with food. The armaments all came from France, and the French king had quietly arranged for the credit, our credits, to be that we were using to transfer the equipment, to all be lost in the treasury, in effect paying for the war as far as equipment, munitions, and all that. He took care of the bills.
Now, why would this be kept secret? Why would the government or the presidents at the time keep it secret that we got this money from the British or from overseas?
It didn't have all that much support for a war and had to be very careful, and got involved in it in 75 on, well, before that. Actually, his grandfather, Louis the 15th, had been the first one to recognize and put the and start building up supplies. Together, they end up in a position where they are able to support the entire war effort quietly, and it's just an incredible event that they're not sure that they wouldn't get in a lot of trouble for. They hadn't asked the people. And another thing that was important was if they didn't tell anybody what they were doing, they had a better chance of shipping it overseas and not having it caught.
Right.
And being able to bring it in. So there was a lot of strategy to it that they carefully figured on, and this is one of the reasons why everything got to be secret. Also, they didn't want everybody to know how much gold had actually gone over there. That was, from a gold standpoint, we printed $220 million worth of continental dollars. We used about less than a quarter of a percent of the dollars valued in gold. It would have been used as to print or show you, here's the gold for that, which is a very small amount, which is a lot of risk to bring it out and have the British attack or find that what you had was so much more than they had. And that it was, that would be valued at $20 an ounce. That's how much difference there was. We left that gold buried for years, and we went through the Civil War without that ever becoming an issue. It only becomes an issue after we tried to do some straightening out of currency in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. And in the Federal Reserve Act, we come up with ratios of how much gold we have. And we, of course, we're minting gold in three different mints: Denver, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. And we had a lot of dollars, and we came up with ratio of something like, end of our printing of continental dollars that could be traded for, backed by gold. They're called gold certificates. You've probably heard of gold certificates.
Yes.
I've even seen a few of them still around. But those gold certificates are no longer directly cashable. And that ratio for that was developed back in 1913. That ratio called for no more than 16 million of the, or 16 billion of the continental dollars to ever be made. And this is one of the reasons we started the business of the Federal Reserve currency in 1913. And we started printing, those are based on debt. And this is, this was a similar concept to the debt that we were left with after the war from the IOUs that the states had printed. All those were paid off by 1834, based on the way that the Treasury was set up and the taxes. That's how long it took to zero out of the entire debt from the IOUs.
But aren't we still in debt here in America?
Now, the debt is what we is a misnomer. They're taking it like they're taking it in a different way. What the problem is that we've caused with debt is we take and buy back American currency overseas when it's in balance, and we start sending money and paper over there that continues to grow and cause us to owe more. And that really enables people to actually sell more to us as cheaper goods, because we're actually using our business practices to go over there and buy cheap, because we buy the dollar back and keep this value high. So it's a subsidy, and we haven't figured it out.
Right. So let me remind my listeners, I'm talking with author James Arthur Becker, otherwise known as Jim Becker, as I'm calling him, and he wrote Secrets of the American Revolution That Have Not Been Made Public, and we're talking with him today here on WWPR on Author's Corner. You can get his book. You can just go to Amazon. It's only $20. I ordered one myself, and you can read about what he's talking today. Now, I noticed that when I was reading the book, I had to go back to almost my high school government class. And, you know, you kind of need a basic understanding of the wars and the presidents and the treaties, the Louisiana Purchase you were talking about, the Knights Templar. So you almost need a basic understanding of religion and government when reading this book. I almost had to look up a couple of things, too, on the internet while I was reading the book, just to refresh myself of some of the things that I've learned back in the day about government, because I forgot a lot of stuff. You brought it back a little bit.
Yes.
And you were saying that your brother was invited to sign the secret treaty at the White House with President Nixon.
He signed an amendment to the secret treaty.
Signed an amendment. Okay. And why was he one of the signers, or how was he invited to
do it? He was the only person invited because he was a direct descendant of my ancestor, Jacob Becker, and he represented Jacob Becker's signature on that original treaty.
Right.
He actually wrote that treaty up. He was the foreign power that we're talking about. He represented the foreign power, which basically was Masonic.
Right. And you even have a diagram in the book on how you're related and kind of like a family tree in there. Now, there was some sort of Nixon scandal going on at the time when your brother was signing it, or?
Well, Nixon basically made sure that Nixon never mentioned the treaty, for example, and actually treaties, the power of treaties, it lies with the Senate, doesn't lie with the president.
Okay.
And so he knew things weren't so good, and Larry was requested by Nixon to keep him advised. Nixon learned that Larry was going to be heading up the Army Intelligence investigation of the assassinations. So he wanted to know ahead of time anything that went on, because the Army intelligence only works for the Senate or the Congress, not for anybody else. Our whole setup on that, you notice they talk about being, there's 15 different groups they talk about as part of the secret groups that they have. You have Air Force intelligence, mm-hmm. you have Navy, you have Army, you have all the other groups that are in there, and they don't tell you what they do. They keep that secret too.
Right.
I haven't seen a full list. But it's just one of those things where you start to realize that this is different. This is when he got in trouble. This was the start of Watergate, and Larry told him that this was what Nixon wanted, and this is how it really started. And I have all that in the book, and it's pretty elaborate. But it really is a situation where Nixon actually had another interest in it, because if you read Volume 7 of the Warren Commission report, you learn that Nixon was in Texas, in Dallas. Kennedy was killed.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so you start to ask questions of what was going on here. Just the beginnings of where you can start to see the reason for interest. And I outline the transactions that Larry went through with him, which ultimately ended up with him being caught in the Watergate business, and the whole thing that got Nixon back into the Watergate was that Nixon had apparently gone out with one of Jack Ruby's carousel girls and was having a big time, big romp in bed, and basically he was told that the pictures had been found and were in the hands of the Democratic campaign manager.
Right.
That's how Watergate got started.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, this was the problem. This was we got to go in there. They'd gone in the first time and not found anything, and then they were told the second time, here it is. And the second time they went in, they got caught. And that was done on purpose.
Right. Now, and this was back in 1972 when your brother signed the secret treaty.
See, I think it was actually 71 he actually signed it.
Oh, 71, okay.
Yeah.
Why did we, as America, or using that as a general term, why did we need the financial assistance to fight the revolution?
We didn't have any money. We didn't have any coin. We didn't have any way of identifying what we were going to do. We had very little ability to do anything financially. It's all British currency.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came in, that's fine. But a lot of times, this was a lot of one of the big rubs in the revolution was that they didn't have money to pay the taxes because money was scarce.
Right.
And if you didn't have money and somebody was hollering for it, that doesn't cause things to be easy. And this is partly what started the revolution.
You said that secrecy covers financial damage, but it also benefits some people. How can it benefit the people?
Well, let's talk about what I told you about on the if you read through there, you saw that I was talking about the engagement, Article 6 in the Constitution.
I'd have to refresh my memory, but
well, Article 6 is nothing but a reference to a type of contract. When they talk about engagement, an engagement contract which was established before the revolution took place, in the early days, before the Constitution was written, in accordance with Article 6, it was an agreement to buy the land from the Penns. The Penns had a lot of unsold land, and they also had a legal position inside inside the government of the colony of Pennsylvania. So the Pennsylvania legislature was presented with a document that John Adams had created. It's labeled the 15th of May, 1776, Resolution of Independence. And it is a declaration of that what we're going to do. And he presented that to them on the 20th of June, 1776. I'm sorry, 20th of May, 1776. They resigned in May of 1776. He had it passed by Congress on the 15th. 20th, they presented it. And they elected and put a new legislature back in place on the 16th of June, 1776, for Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, the deal with the Penn family went down on the 15th. And on the 15th, the three lower counties, of which are now Delaware, were broken off by the new owner, and the 13th state was requested, which of course is named Delaware. All that land that was unsold in Delaware and all the land that's unsold in Pennsylvania is unaccounted for. They ran my ancestor off before he could reasonably settle that. He did everything he could to correctly behave. The people who went back, the Penn family, two families of the four families of William Penn were here in the States, and they left and went back after the Revolution. And they, during the Revolution, submitted to house arrest and did not give help in either side because they were Quaker. And that gave them the protection they needed to get through the war. Then they went back to England. And when they went back to England, they got a pension, a stipend from England, from Parliament. And Parliament gave them a stipend of £5,000 per year for their annual loss of unsold land. And in that stipend, it was so worded that as long as one of the four brothers might remain alive, the stipend would be paid. And so the stipend didn't finish up in payments till 1832. So in 1832, the verbal contract is still a piece of verbal contract. It had its difficulties in bringing it about. By 1832, my ancestor was run off by the anti-Masonics. And I go through that in the book and then talk about the problems that he ran into and how the anti-Masonics subsisted in chasing him for 11 years. And the Grand Lodge books of Ohio reflect the damages to the various lodges and the places they went through trying to find him.
And did you know all about your Becker ancestry growing up? Did you hear anything about this or from me?
Pieces of it that I couldn't put together. And just like, why do you keep putting it together? Because you find pieces of it, and you find more pieces.
Right.
You find more pieces, and you get a clearer picture. And this is what I've attempted to assemble, and I've attempted to write it all out and advance the world. One of the big things that comes out of this that is really important is the actual Constitution of the United States. They recently told the world and told us all that James Madison was only a framer. And that's correct. The Supreme Court has properly identified him as a framer. He didn't write. He is not the author. Hmm. We have not told anybody officially who the author was. And it was my ancestor who was the author. And they have kept it out. And this, again, is to keep away from the money and the things that he brought over that others have grabbed.
I just don't understand why they're keeping the secrets of where the money came from.
After a while, they don't actually, you have very few people who really know or know where to find it. And in my book, I identify the one source where we had put together back in the 1800s that when Jefferson was trying to put this thing together, he did arrange this arrangement for a special library put together that held the secrets. And that's the library my brother got to read after he was requested to sign the treaty. He got to read the treaty, and he had an opportunity to tell me and my father exactly what was in that treaty.
Hmm.
A lot of it is really related to the Masonic, to the Knights Templar ritual, which is memorized and been memorized and handed down for years. And it, the portion that went into that treaty, it was such that my father, who was a Knights Templar, would stop my brother. He finished his sentences, first three that he came up with. He finished the sentences, and he says, "Okay, you wonder why I did that?" He said, "That's all," and he explained to us that was all what's known as lore or history from that ritual that can be told to people. He said, "That's not secret."
Right.
Which was interesting, which means that there's not much of an excuse for them not coming out and bringing it up.
Why did we make secret treaties back then? Who was it protecting?
They didn't want anybody to know what was going on. They didn't want anybody looking for the gold.
Ah, okay.
And they didn't. And when they were trying to get this all together, there was an awful lot of help that was coming from the French and the Spanish. That it was incredible. That we have hardly acknowledged, and it is a bit of a dilemma, and we don't see it as a dilemma because we don't understand it. So that's one of the reasons I've written this.
Okay.
We need to understand what has been done by others who have joined in wholeheartedly, and a lot of states that we take for granted were defended by the Spanish and the French, and it's really remarkable what really exists there.
Right. All right. Again, I want to remind my listeners here on WWPR's Author's Corner that we're talking to author James Arthur Becker. In his book, Secrets of the American Revolution That Have Not Been Made Public, which you can get right on Amazon for $20. And you can order the book. And I got it within a couple of days. So, and it's a good read. It'd take you about a weekend to read it. And you can learn all of this information and more about him. Now, do you believe that there's gold still out there that's unaccounted for, that is sitting somewhere?
It was accounted for when FDR got involved. He brought that up, and he was able, he actually didn't have enough to complete the gold certificates required $16 billion. We had printed $16 billion. He needed $16 billion to back it. He actually got the holdings moved by $8 billion in 1930. And he did that based on the gold that was dug out of the ground and knowing what that was, adding it to our reserves. Once he added that, now the reserves had been strong enough that we had been happy with the $16 billion, no problem. Then he is in the middle of, here's your country and here's this Great Depression, and here's a gold problem on top of it. He's really confounded.
Right.
Talk about being cornered. Now, you got to find an answer.
Right.
So, yeah. So you get some idea of what pressure would be.
Now, is there anything else you'd like to discuss before wrapping up the interview that I might have not touched on? I didn't want to give out too many goodies from the book so people would order it and want to read it.
Right. And I think I think we've covered most everything.
Okay.
And I think that it, hopefully people will get a chance to read it and learn. But to think of going this far without actually knowing the name of the person who wrote the Constitution.
Right, yeah. I don't think many people know that. I mean, I think I learned that, I don't know, George Washington wrote it or something. I don't know.
Well,
or John Hancock. John Hancock wrote it, and a bunch of people signed it.
Well, which they didn't, but it was all right.
Right.
It's because we've as it's complex enough as it is, it doesn't need to be hidden to be totally disappeared. And this is what I really fear. And I guess the one thing I hadn't talked about was I have been very active in the Sons of American Revolution.
Right.
And I just finished in 2020 being a year of presidency of the North Carolina chapter of the Sons of American Revolution.
Okay.
And I have had a lot of time being retired learn more and more about it, and I've done everything I can, and it's time to begin to write some of it down.
Has any, like, high-profile government official or political figure contacted you in regards to this?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure that's always possible, and I would think that if they really decide to take our founding seriously, that they would want answers to what's in that book.
Right.
To the public.
Now, when did you write the book, or when did the book come out?
It came out officially in October.
Oh, so it's a fresh book. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So I just looked it up on Amazon. If I understand their posting, There's been about 2,000 copies sold.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it should be pretty good that way. And we'll see what happens, but it does look like it's got some interest, and I'm sure that people will find it worthwhile.
All right. Well, we're going to get the word out and see what happens.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And Jim, I want to thank you for joining us here today on Author's Corner here on WWPR with your book, Secrets of the American Revolution That Have Not Been Made Public. His name on there, he goes by James Arthur Becker, and you can look him up.
Thank you.